Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church, another day where we get to praise our God together. I have a question for you. It's okay, Zamira. It's okay. It's my daughter. I have a question for you. How long is this life going to last? We don't know, right? Really, the best answer we can get is less than forever. How long is the next life going to last? Forever, obviously. So, obviously, then, which is more valuable? The next life, the one that's going to last forever. And yet, sadly, sometimes we can get caught up a little bit too much in this life or in the things that this life offers. So, this morning, God gives us a reminder of the value of the riches of the eternal life we have through Christ. We'll celebrate that today in the worship service. And we'll begin our worship with hymn 238 in the Red Songbooks. 238. God bless your worship. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins. And trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son, Jesus, to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you reveal your mighty power chiefly in showing mercy and kindness. Grant us the full measure of your grace that we may obtain your promises and become partakers of your heavenly glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. We're ready for you. Yeah, come on. Grab treasure too. Part in the Red Songbook, page 12. Our Savior Jesus Christ commanded baptism when he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." All of us are born into this world with a deep need for baptism. From our parents, we inherit a sinful nature. We are without true fear of God and true faith in God and are condemned to eternal death. But Jesus took away our sin by giving his life on the cross. At our baptism, he clothes us with the robe of his righteousness and gives us a new life. Our sinful nature need not control us any longer. We recall what baptism means for our daily lives as we speak these words. Baptism means that the sinful nature in us should be drowned by daily sorrow and repentance, and that all its evil deeds and desires be put to death. It also means that a new person should daily arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. In obedience to the command of our Lord and trusting in his promise, you have brought this child to be baptized. Jesus told us, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." It is in baptism that God grants the new life of forgiveness, joy, and peace to little children. By the power of God's word, this gracious water of life washes away sin, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe. One thing we also want to do is consider what we get from Christ. Therefore, this symbol of Christ's life, which is in the Paschal candle, is now being symbolized as it's passed to you. This symbolizes the new life that you receive through Christ in your baptism. If you could hold this other one. Thank you. Now, Nadine, by the power of God, the power of the Word, the Holy Spirit has led you to believe that this new life in Christ is yours. Now, in holy baptism, the Lord Jesus assures you of your salvation. That you may give public testimony of your faith, therefore, I ask you, do you believe that you were born in sin and therefore eternally lost? If so, say, yes, I believe. Do you believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, say, yes, I believe. Do you believe that this triune God has planned and carried out your salvation? Do you believe that God grants you the forgiveness of sins in holy baptism? Do you desire to be baptized? Okay. Now receive the sign of the cross on the head and heart to mark you as a redeemed child of Christ. You also receive the sign of the cross on the head and the heart to mark you as a redeemed child of Christ. Good timing, treasure. All right. Pull the treasure first. If you're able to. Go ahead, you can lean her down in a little bit further. There you go. Treasure, Nadine Inyudo, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Oh, she dipped. I'm so sorry, Treasure. She'll remember that. Now, Nadine. If you can hold those. Thank you. Very good. All right. Nadine Inyudo, I baptize you. Can you lean forward? I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has forgiven all your sins. By your baptism, you are born again and made a dear child of your Father in heaven. May God strengthen you to live in your baptismal grace all the days of your life. Peace be with you. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord commands that we teach his precious truths to all who are baptized. Christian love, therefore, urges all of us, especially parents and sponsors, to assist in whatever manner possible so that Treasure and Nadine may remain a child of God until death. If you are willing to carry out this responsibility, then answer yes as God gives me strength.
Yes, as God gives me strength.
Let us pray. Merciful Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing of baptism by which you offer and grant the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Help us to regard our baptism as the robe of righteousness we are to wear all the days of our life. Look with special favor on Treasure and Nadine and grant them a rich measure of your spirit that they may grow in faith and godly living. Make us willing to carry out our responsibilities to those who have been baptized so that all of us may finally come to the blessed joys of heaven. Through Jesus our Lord, amen. You may be seated. Those are yours to keep, and you can light them on this anniversary to remember your baptism every single year. Was the first baptism where I have gotten the water in the baby's eyes. I apologize, Treasure. But God is good. Same water of life. Even if it stings a little bit. These treasures that we have through Jesus that we just celebrated are what we're celebrating today in our lessons as well. However, sometimes we can get our minds caught up in the things that don't matter as much. In fact, they're meaningless, as Solomon, our teacher, tells us here in our first lesson from Ecclesiastes 1 and 2. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish. Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then they must leave all they own to another who has not toiled for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. The word of the Lord. In the Old Testament times, the people of Israel would sing psalms to God in worship. We continue that tradition here with Psalm 34. Second lesson comes from James chapter 5. This will also serve as the sermon text for today. Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who is not opposing you. Be patient, then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. The word of the Lord. Take a look at the treasures and how Jesus describes them for those who are rich toward God, who those who believe in him. From John chapter 14. Alleluia. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Alleluia. Now please stand in honor of the words and works of Jesus in the gospel. The gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 12. Here Jesus reminds us once again that the things that we look for are temporary and that we are to be rich toward God with what we have. From Luke chapter 12. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. The Gospel of the Lord. We now confess our faith in the treasures that we have in Christ according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And if there are any children in the congregation who want to come up for a children's message, you can meet me at the front step. It's my own son. It's okay, Busta. Hi, buddy. Come on. Good morning, everybody. How you doing this morning? Wow. All right. All right. I'm going to need a volunteer this morning. Colvin, I choose you. Come on up here. Stand right there. Face me. Put your hands out. Boy, do I have a treat for you this morning, Colvin. Check it out. I've got pieces of paper. Wow, let's count them. How many am I going to give you? Ready? Hold them up. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Wow, 15, 16, 17, 18. 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25! 25 pieces of paper! Wow! How cool! What a blessing! All I have is just this one. I don't know, I'm kind of jealous. You got so many more. Do you think you would ever trade? Do you think you'd trade those for this? You would? Why? Look at how many you got. You got 25 of them. I only got one piece of paper. Look at how many colors you have there. There's like 5 or 6 different colors in there. There's like what? A couple of shades? Mostly green? Pretty lame. Why would you trade this one? Because it's money. It actually has value, right? It's got, you know, it's funny. You and I can easily make that decision when it comes to pieces of paper, what has value and what doesn't. But you and I sometimes fail to think about what's really, truly valuable in this life. Sometimes we get so caught up in the things of this life and in having so many things, and yet really, as Solomon says in the first lesson, they're meaningless. It's worthless. What's the point? Instead, we have to focus on what actually has value. What is it that actually has value?
$20 bill.
And God and Jesus. And God and Jesus. Okay, you had "and God and Jesus" in there. Thank you for adding that last part in there. God and Jesus actually have the true value, don't they? Jesus, what he did for us, it's incomparable. You can't compare anything else to it. It's worth so much. Jesus died for our sins. He came down to this earth. He humbled himself, made himself poor, that we might become the richest in the world. We have all the riches of eternal life to look forward to. But sometimes we get so caught up in what is meaningless. So let's say a prayer to God, asking him for forgiveness and some help in that. We pray, Lord God, forgive us for the times when we forget about your true value. And the true value of Jesus and our eternal life that he won. Thank you, Lord, though, for sending Jesus to this earth, for humbling himself all for our sake. Lord, now guide us to be rich toward you in everything, our whole lives, everything we have. Guide us to share that message with others, too, so that they can know just how valuable you are. We ask all of this in our Savior's name. Amen. You guys can go back to your seats. We'll continue with the hymn of the day, hymn 484. 484 in the Red Songbooks.
Thank you.
have I in heaven besides you? What does earth have that I desire besides you? Amen. Sermon text for this morning comes from the second lesson from James chapter 5. If you'd like to follow along, let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your true value. Amen. Growing up in my house was always interesting. A lot of times that was because of my dad and the jokes that he would play on us. There's one joke that my dad would play where if he saw or heard that somebody was about to come through a door, he'd hide right behind the door, and as it opened, he'd smack the door and go, oh, oh, oh. And each person that it happened to, he'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? I didn't mean to. And then he'd just laugh. Now, if it happened to you, you would go through an exact kind of like system of facial expressions and emotions. First, you'd have shock and surprise, which would then turn into a little bit of relief. You didn't actually hurt anybody. Which would then turn into at least a little bit of anger. And then hopefully that would turn into a big smile. But usually it was a punch on the arm. You ever been surprised by somebody behind a door or something? Maybe you've been walking around your house, or maybe you're even walking on the street, or maybe there's a car you're walking by and that door springs open. You have that moment of that shock. It's such an example, a small example, but an example of how we might handle the unexpected. Might get caught by surprise. This morning, God wants us to not be surprised. He wants us to be ready. And so through James, he's going to give us a heads up. He's going to tell us the judge is standing at the door. But thankfully, through James, he also ensures us that while we might sit here and wonder if that's ever going to happen, yes, indeed, that door will open. Now, if you've ever read through the book of James, you know that James is really good at confronting sin. So far through James, or throughout the whole book, so far until chapter 5, he's confronted sins on being double-minded, getting caught up in anger, for saying that you have faith but not backing it up with deeds, for not trusting God, especially in prayer. And now James turns his attention to a different group of people and says, hey, listen up. Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Whew. Here he calls out rich people, but he doesn't call them out just because they're rich. There's nothing wrong with being rich. It isn't a sin. The issue was what that wealth had developed in these people, which he explains. Your wealth has rotted. Moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in these last days. What these rich people were doing was greedily, selfishly storing up things for themselves. In fact, they were storing up so much that the things that they were storing were starting to decay. Their silver and their gold were corroding. Their clothes were being eaten by moths. Now, if you know of anything about precious metals like gold and silver, then you know that they don't corrode. That's why they're called precious. So is James showing his ignorance here? No, he's making a deeper point. The deeper point being that it wasn't really their stuff that was corroding and decaying. It was their hearts that had become rotten. And he points out the evidence next. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. James points out the fact that their greed had led them into a number of other sins, even sins as bad as disregarding one's needs selfishly, stealing, but also even murder of someone who was innocent. So James tells them, look, all of these decaying things that you are filling your hearts with have made your own hearts rotten. All of these sins have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts. The judge is standing at the door, and he will punish you for every sin of selfishness and greed. Like I said, James is pretty good at confronting sin. So did he confront any of yours? Anything that James said that struck your heart? Now, if you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm not that rich, then I suggest you open up your worldview a little bit. We're pretty blessed in this country. Besides the sin of greed and the sin of selfishness can strike any level of society and any culture or country you're in, sadly, that includes us. Look at what greed causes us to do. Leads us into a number of sins. As we live in a land of plenty, it can skew our standard of living. We turn luxuries into needs, when really they are luxuries. It can cause us to want to store up things for ourselves, selfishly. We want a screen of every size for every occasion, right? Smartphones and tablets and computers and TVs. We want cars. We want clothes for this occasion. Oh, and that one too. Oh, and this one too, I need clothes. We also store up that good nest egg for retirement. Meanwhile, we forget about the here and now. But not just that, it can also make us do the opposite. Instead of storing things up, sometimes it's like we can't get rid of stuff fast enough. We only have it for a little bit, but now we want what's new and better. That's a contentment issue. That's also a result of greed. Now, these things aren't bad in themselves. These are blessings that God gives to us, but it's what you and I can do with them. We can have them lose our focus on what really matters, what truly is valuable. We take these good things, and we're really good at making them into idols. Sadly, as James points out, the judge is at the door. It's like these things have pulled our focus away from that surprise door opening sometime. So James says, look, all of these decaying pieces of trash that you are filling your hearts up with, they're turning your heart rotten. Look, you're fattening yourselves up in self-indulgence for the day of slaughter, the last day, the day of judgment. The judge is standing at the door. And you and I are left to wonder, when the judge opens that door, what exactly are we going to receive? What you and I are going to receive from God when that door opens is the richest gift imaginable. It doesn't make sense, but that's our God, and that's His grace. It's funny when you read this description of these greedy rich people in verses 1 through 6, how similar God is to these greedy rich people. Yes, you heard that correctly. How similar God is to these greedy rich people. We're told they failed to pay the wages their workers deserved. God does the same thing. You and I have earned a wage. The wages of sin is death. But God doesn't give us that wage. He gives that to somebody else instead. These rich people condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing them. God did a similar thing. Jesus was innocent. He didn't do anything to deserve what he had. He wasn't greedy. He wasn't selfish. He didn't lose focus in this life. But God still sent him and condemned him on the cross. And Jesus didn't oppose. He let it happen. These rich people were hoarding wealth in these last days. Now God is doing the same thing. He's storing up all of these riches, not giving them to all of us right now, because when he opens that door is when he is just going to pour them out upon us. Forgiveness, complete, salvation, eternal life, all of it. Riches unimaginable. In the meantime, he does give us a little deposit. It's called the Holy Spirit. Helps guide us into what Jesus has done. But what's the difference between these greedy rich people and God? It's the focus. For the greedy rich people, the focus was themselves. They did everything for themselves and in this life. For God, his focus was you and me. He did everything for our eternal lives. We went from the poorest of the poor spiritually and now have been made the richest of the rich. No comparison. You and I have been given the glories of heaven to look forward to someday. So God says, sit tight. There's a day when I'm going to open that door and I'm going to pour out all of these blessings upon you. But how long do we have to wait for that door to open? Am I right? I mean, come on. I feel like believers have been waiting forever. People in James's day thought the last day was going to come on in their lifetime. Here we are, 2,000 years later. In the meantime, God's people have had to put up not just with our own greed, but the greed of the world and how the world tries to press it upon us. It's oppressive. The people in James's day, these Christians, they were being oppressed by rich people. We read about some of the outcomes, theft, murder. You and I, it's not theft or murder. Sometimes it's theft, but a lot of times it's a little more passive. We have greedy rich people, or just the greed in general, trying to oppress that you have to look out for numero uno kind of attitude. We have to hold up under that every single day. We have greedy rich people who use advertising. Advertising itself isn't bad, but a lot of people will sadly use the enticement of sinful things to pull us into buying their product. Why? Just so they can make a buck. Social media does the same thing. Social media is actually engineered to be oppressive. Did you know that? It's purposely addictive. People want you to click. They want you to visit. They want ads to be seen so they can make money off of you. Meanwhile, we're left there to deal with the aftermath of social media addiction like depression, anxiety, loneliness, bullying, the effect on our interpersonal skills and community. I feel like more and more, too, we have to deal with the threat of identity theft. It's like it never ends. We have things all the time, and we're just sitting here waiting like, Lord, open that door already. Let's go. So James, in the midst of this greedy world, gives us a very important admonition. Be patient, then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. The Lord in his judgment upon all of the greed of this world is indeed coming. The Lord and his riches are indeed coming. And in order to help us see that a little bit, James gives us three more examples here. First one will show us that the Lord is indeed going to open that door. It will happen. The second one, that we're not the first ones to endure pain and suffering from the world. The third one, that all who endure these things for God's sake will have a blessed outcome. The first example is a picture. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. After a dry, hot summer in Israel, the land would be parched and cracked. And so that waiting, that patiently waiting for those autumn rains was really important. That's when you could plow the land, plant what you needed. But then also you'd have to wait and wait for the spring rains to come to give that final push to the harvest. So farmer had to be patient for waiting for both. But guess what? Like clockwork, they would indeed come. What good would it have done if the farmer would have grumbled? None at all. It wouldn't have helped. It wouldn't have brought the end anywhere closer. It doesn't change anything. James says, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. You and I aren't to grumble either. We need each other. Don't bicker against one another. We need each other to help bear that burden of the world. So be patient. The Lord is coming. That door will open. And we can endure until then because of the next example. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Think about the difficult job that prophets had. They had to speak the word of God and all these promises and prophecies, even though there was no fulfillment in their lives most of the time. They had to point forward and wait till Christ, but did they endure? Yes. In fact, their words have endured to help us learn. And in the end, it's always worth it. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. You think it was easy for Job to go through what he did? No, but he did. And in the end, he was more blessed than before. You think all of those believers had it easy in this life before us? No. But now we consider them as blessed as can be as they're in heaven and enjoying the riches of God's glory. You and I, same thing. One, we know the Lord indeed will come back. Two, we can endure like those before us. And three, when that door opens, it will bring blessed riches and relief. Just waiting for the judge to open the door. Now, I know after the sermon, from here on out, you're going to be nervous around doors. That's okay. That's good. That's the kind of attitude and focus God wants you to have. Things in this world try to steal our focus away from Him. So remember, brothers and sisters, the judge is at the door. But also remember, when He opens that door, it will be a welcome relief. Amen. Please stand. May the riches of what Christ has won for us guard your hearts and minds through faith in Him. Amen. We now join together in a prayer as a song called Create in Me. Be seated. One of the treasures we've been given in this life is prayer. So we join together in the prayer of the church and the Lord's Prayer. It's responsive and it's printed for you on pages 11 and 12. Lord God, open our eyes to the beauty of your created world. You made all things to nourish our lives and to fill us with wonder and joy. For bountiful harvests, for the freedoms we enjoy, for family and friends, for all the blessings we receive, we give you thanks. We truly are blessed to have a God who meets and exceeds our every need. Give us grateful hearts for fields, farmers, grocers, and many more who serve us by helping to provide the abundant earthly blessings that come to us each day. Dear Heavenly Father, we confess that we have often been guilty of taking your gifts for granted. We enjoy the blessing of clothing, shoes, and shelter without realizing that you have provided these things. When the clouds bring rain, we simply retreat to our homes and let the water run off the roof while we remain warm and dry. When the chilling wind blows, we reach for sweaters to stay warm. Our shoes keep our feet warm and dry. But we rarely stop to thank you for keeping us warm and comfortable. Such ingratitude only adds to the burden of guilt that makes us unworthy of these blessings. Lord God, our Creator and Preserver, you have given us material wealth far more than we require for our basic needs. Preserve us from apathy, complacency, and selfishness. Keep us from so avidly pursuing prosperity that in gaining the world, we lose our souls. Lead us to use wisely and for your glory the things you have entrusted to our care. All-powerful and all-loving God, we thank you for comforting those who are sick and suffering and those who are recovering. We think especially of Eric Gunter, Terry Drennan, Judy Groth, Gail Groth, and Reno Zalinardo. If it is your will, strengthen their faith so that they may see your loving hand, even in the midst of their discomfort. Giver of all good things, we thank you for blessing all married people, especially those celebrating anniversaries. Give them a strong faith in you and a rich love for each other. Maker and Preserver, we thank you for blessing all those who are celebrating birthdays as well. As they remember their birth into this world, remind them also of their rebirth through water and the Spirit. Compassionate Lord of all, we thank you for the resurrection of Jesus. Bless the families who are remembering the loved ones who have passed, especially the family of Rick Covey, who went to heaven 2 years ago today. Place the treasures of your promises before them that they may find true comfort and reassurance in your love. We ask all this in your name, Jesus, since you are the greatest treasure we have. With grateful voices, we join together and to pray as you taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Join together in a hymn that shows us what our true treasure is when I survey the wondrous cross, number 125. Please stand for prayer and to receive the blessing. We pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated for our closing hymn, Take the World But Give Me Jesus, number 355. Good morning again. It's a pleasure worshiping with you this morning. God be praised for all of his gifts and treasures, especially the treasure that he gave to treasure, that is her baptism. What a great day. Just a few announcements for you. First of all, welcome to all of our visitors. If you have any questions, let us know. Please also check out the Welcome Center in the back there with more information on our ministry here at St. Mark's. You'll also receive a gift if you go over there too. Another few more announcements for you. No Monday worship tomorrow, so us pastors will be at a pastor's conference. So no worship tomorrow. If you know of anybody that might that is thinking about going, make sure to let them know. We won't be there. If you're interested in joining the choir, please see the notes in the weekly news. That's coming up again, the season of choir season starting. So see the notes in the weekly news for that. Just a note that our Jesus Cares special needs worship, which we have on the first Sunday of each month, we're going to keep that the same. We're not going to move it, even though it's the day before Labor Day this time. So September 1st, we will have our worship that day. Now, September is a huge month for us here at St. Mark's. We've got a lot going on, and we've engineered a lot of things to make September a prime opportunity for you to share your faith and the treasure that Jesus has done, and all the treasures that we have. The first thing is September 7th, Mighty Warriors. We're going to go out and knock on some doors, invite people to what we've got coming up. There's a sign up for that if you're interested in joining us. A week later after that, Saturday, September 14th, we're going to have a movie night in our gym. The movie we're going to be looking at is God's Not Dead. Really good movie from 2014, so come join us for that. The day after that is a good opportunity for you to invite a friend to our next Bible information class that starts. That's Sunday evenings at 5 p.m. Please sign up for that as well. The Saturday after that, September 21st, is going to be our community cook-off, which is basically, remember, our church picnic that we invite the community to. So first of all, if you want to bring a dish to pass, please do. There's a sign-up sheet back there so we don't double up as much as we can. But also, if you're thinking that you're a grill master, make sure to register online so we can prepare everything and get that ready for you. And if more people don't register, guess what? Pastor Grill's going to register, and I'm terrible. But I'm still going to win a prize, even if I just enter anything. So make sure to register so that we can know and plan for that, so I don't have to sweat about having to cook something. The day after that is Friendship Sunday, so another opportunity. And something that you can kind of chunk together for the weekend, too, to invite a friend to worship. So next Friendship Sunday, the 22nd of September. Later that evening, another opportunity for us to celebrate missions in the fact that our new mission that we're starting in Folsom, they're going to install their pastor here at St. Mark's at 4 p.m. that day. So come join us. I'll talk more about that in a second. One more thing before I give the mic to somebody else. Here at at church, we have youth ministries. Maybe you know, maybe you don't, but for the teen group in high school, we have what we call our Ignite teen group. For the middle school ages, we have Impact. We have nothing right now outside of the school for our younger ages, so we have a member who has volunteered her time to start something. We're going to call it St. Mark's Kids Club. And what we're going to do is we're going to start a little slow and kind of simple. We're going to organize one-day VBSs throughout the year. Our first one we're going to do is going to be the day after Thanksgiving. So we're going to kind of have the theme of kicking off the Christmas season right by telling people what the reason for the season, right? It'll also give parents the opportunity to, in the practice of good stewardship on Black Friday, if they wanted to drop their kids off, they could go do that too. But if you're interested in volunteering for that or helping out for that one-day VBS, let us know. Myself, Pam Egley, or Ryan Hopping. Now I'll hand over the mic to Noel Lederman, who has an update on our Folsom mission.
You want to come back up here real quick? You mind? You don't want to? Oh, buddy, there's a dollar in it for you. Okay, I'll come to you.
Not even I gave out a
dollar. Hey, tell your dad to scoot over. All right? Scoot over a little bit. You like smartphones, right? Okay, your dad's going to hold the mic for you. Okay, I need you to read Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on to thine own understanding. In all the ways acknowledge.
Good job.
With him and he shall direct thy paths.
Awesome. Good job. I think that deserves a hand. That's the dollar Pastor owes you. Hey, Gideon, you want to come up here? Gideon, you want to come up here? You want to come up here? I need a hug. Oh, okay. I'll get it from your dad. Man, I am the only thing standing between you and lunch. That is a growly look, Gordon. Now, I'm just going to take a few minutes. So first service, after first service, Dan Cummins spoke to the first service group about our new mission. Hey, Jackie, aren't you glad I didn't have you read? in Folsom. And those of you in the last few rows, you can't see it, but everybody that can turn around, old or young, Dave, I'll give you some time. What does it say on the right side, on the back of church? What does that say? On three, we'll read it together. One, two, three. Go with the gospel. Go with the gospel. Today in the teen class, what did we talk about in the teen class? Some teens? Starts with a B. Beatitudes, right. And as I was listening to Pastor's sermon today, you know, the Beatitudes, when Jesus is talking about all these things, humbling yourself, and you look at that, go with the gospel, it's so easy to get comfortable with where we are and what we're doing. About 10 years ago, longer than 10 years ago, there was talk about starting a mission in Folsom. Think of a time when you were extremely excited and extremely anxious at the same time. I'll give you an example. Has everybody been to the California side of Disneyland? There's a roller coaster where you dead stop and you go to 60 like in 3 seconds. And for the engineers in here, I may be exaggerating. What's it called? What's that ride? California Screaming. You know, excitement and anxiety and fear all in the same. First time I went on that, I mean, I was really worried because I knew there was a loop-to-loop, and I was hoping that, you know, I was going to keep everything this way. But that's kind of how it is there. There's a small group that's committed 2 years to go over there. After 2 years, who knows? You have a pastor that's coming from Littleton, Colorado, that's in an established congregation, moving into a house. He has no church building. He has no name of the church. He has a small group of people that are committed to 2 years. There was no contract signed. It was just a group that said, hey, you know, we need a core group. Is there anybody here, I'm taking a shot in the dark, is there anybody here that was 55 years ago part of the core group here? I know there was in the first service, but I mean, try to go back 55 years, you know, that's where St. Mark's was, you know. You could go back and debate, hey, should we have a church in Lincoln right now. We should have a church in Elk Grove right now. We should have a church in Davis right now. We should have, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, but we're acting now. Again, is it scary? Absolutely. I'm scared to death. But I'm also excited at the same time, you know. Again, I'm stealing from you. How many years do we have here on earth? How many years? Don't know. How many years do we have in eternity? Man, there's somebody out there. There's a soul. Two people were baptized today. How awesome. But there's somebody out there that isn't going to come to Citrus Heights. They're just not. But there's an opportunity for us in Folsom. I have no idea what that opportunity is. There's an opportunity. God knows I don't. So in a month, we're going to have a new pastor here that doesn't have a church building, doesn't have a location, doesn't have a time set, doesn't have a church service. You know, he's coming with his wife and two little girls. Their son is a sophomore, I think, at one of our Lutheran high schools back in Watertown, Wisconsin. So in a month from today at 4 o'clock, there's going to be an installation service. Come. Your haircut can wait. Home Depot will be open till 9 o'clock on Sunday night, I believe. You know? Come. Show support for this missionary. He's a missionary. He's not going to Africa. He's not going to South America. He's going to Folsom, California. And the only reason we're able to do this is we have about $5 million in the bank to open that. Not. We don't have $5 million here at St. Mark's. You know, but we do have a board of home missions within our church body, and they're going to help support it, and there have been some donations to help support it, and it's going to happen. And in 2 years, if something happens and it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out. Okay. So currently, Ed Russell is our standing treasurer. He's in the back. He ushered today. I'm our standing secretary, and then Dan Cummings is our standing president, and we're the steering committee for this small group. So beyond Pastor Colander, who's put a ton of work into this over the last 12-plus months, if you got a question, if you got an anxiety, if you got an opinion, give it to us. Give it to us. We've been meeting once a month at the Hampton Inn at 50 in East Bidwell. Had about 30 people averaging, which is pretty cool. We actually had a couple, three people come from Penryn one Sunday afternoon. So I think I hear McDonald's calling. That's it. Anybody have a quick question? All right, Gordon.
What do we do if we know somebody in Folsom that could be interested in going because it's close?
Tell them about it. Yeah, any of us. Yeah, absolutely. You're all welcome if you just want to come and see. You're not committed. You can come to our Bible study when the new pastor's here, Pastor David Kalpin, K-O-E-L-P-I-N. One of those real easy names phonetically to look at, not. Absolutely. We're going to lose members from this church, but you know what? We're not going to lose members from God's church. How many of us have ever gone through a financial challenge here at St. Mark's? How many of us have ever seen that? The coffers are just spilling over with money as I speak right now. Not. But you know what? Colvin. I love Colvin's name. I played football with a guy. What was the first thing I told you when I met you, Colvin? You played football with a guy in college named Colvin? What was the first thing you read? Do you remember? If you don't, you can ask your dad. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And we have faithful leaders here that preach and teach and tell us all the time to trust in the Lord. So trust in the Lord as you greet each other this morning. Thanks.